Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday, and by the grace of God, we're going to be giving you a great message today. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune nature of God. But before we jump into that, I want to just give you a brief update on what's going on here in Kenya. We just sent home a couple from Kansas, USA, back to Kansas. They were here with us for almost 2 weeks, and we built a mud house. We ministered to the children, ministered to the people in the village in many different ways, and it was just a glorious 2 weeks. We had a great time. They had a great time, and we also had a conference, Acceleration for Strength in 2023, and so many aspects of the ministry were touched by their presence. And while we're speaking of that, we invite any of you listening today, any of you who hear this message, come to Kenya. You're welcome here. Bring a team. Get your Bible study group encouraged to come. Get your church people encouraged to come. And come visit us here. We'll build a house. We'll have a crusade. We'll have a conference. We'll have Bible studies. All those things that you think about on a mission trip, we can do. And we will cater to you, take care of you. You will be safe. You will have good food, and you will see the beauty of Kenya while you're here. So that's the update on what's happening. And again, we invite all of you, come to Kenya and visit with us. Come see what's happening here in Africa. Well, today we're going to be talking about part two, the third person of the Trinity, the triune nature of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And this aspect, God the Holy Spirit, is one that is a bit diminished. It's a bit lesser preached about, lesser spoken of than God the Father, God the Son. And there's a lot of mystery, I guess, around the Holy Spirit, although not in God's Word. There's plenty of teaching on the Holy Spirit in God's Word, but there's not plenty of understanding. Many people are confused. Many people don't have a good idea of who the Holy Spirit is. They think it's some kind of a ethereal force or some kind of powerful force that just blows around in the universe. And God has given us great teaching. Jesus has given us great teaching. And so if you turn in your Bible to John chapter 14, you will see that Jesus spent gave three chapters here that are loaded with teaching on the Holy Spirit. And he did this with the disciples, before he was going to Jerusalem for his crucifixion and his final days here on the earth. And so we have this teaching. It is recorded, red letters in my Bible. Jesus is teaching the disciples about the Holy Spirit. And so if you have not had any teaching on the Holy Spirit, please read John chapter 14, John 15, John 16, and Acts chapter 1 and 2, those five chapters, and you will get the bulk of teaching in the Bible, in the New Testament, regarding the person of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says in John chapter 14, in verse 14, I'm going to include this in the teaching on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will give you unction or instruction on what to pray for and how to pray for those things that you need. And so he said in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, he's speaking about in Jesus' name, if you ask for things that are of the will of God for your life, regarding your walk with the Lord, regarding your ministry, regarding your time with the Lord here on this earth. If you are walking with the Lord, the Holy Spirit will give you instruction on what to ask for. And so your requests, yes, you can ask for daily bread. Yes, you can ask for simple things, water. You can ask for provision, for money, for a job. You can ask for all those things, but you can also ask for direction and strengthening to walk with the Lord in the calling and the destiny that he has for you. You can walk with the Lord in his path that he has laid out for you, or you can wander around in the wilderness area. You can wander around in those places where you are separated from God and you are not fulfilling his desire for your life. Even though you may be saved, you're lost and wandering in the wilderness. And so it is imperative that you learn to ask according to the will of God. And then Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And that is a promise from Jesus. When you ask in Jesus' name, when you ask the Father in Jesus' name, Jesus is the way to the Father. And so when you ask in Jesus' name, Jesus says, I will do it if it is according to the will of God. Now, you can ask for a new Corvette to sit out there in your driveway. You can ask for a Rolex watch if you want. Maybe some of those things, maybe God wants some people to have those. But for the most part, if you're asking for the will of God, according to his will, to minister to others, what is our destiny here on this earth? What is our calling? It is to share the gospel. It is to minister to others. We talked about last week in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you will receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witness. Jesus says, you will be my witness. And so the greatest thing that we can do is be a witness for Jesus Christ, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then into the remotest parts of the earth. And beloved, when you start to get an idea of what God has for you, what his plan for you is, and when you start to lay down your own life, Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross. When you start to deny yourself, then you'll start to see God's plan for your life. When you start to deny yourself, your own selfish desires, whatever they may be, and to you they may not seem selfish, but you're always putting yourself first when you pray. That's human nature. But when you start to deny yourself, say, Lord, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to pick up my cross. I'm going to go ahead to the top of the hill. I'm going to go to that place of crucifixion. I'm going to go to that place where you have set aside a place for me to suffer, set aside a place for me to give up my desires and to take up your desires. I'm going to take up the cross just as you did, Jesus, and you went to the top of the hill and you laid down your life for mankind. That's God's plan for us. I'm not saying everybody's going to be a Christian martyr. I'm not saying everybody is going to go to Africa or go to Asia or go to Philippines or whatever. I'm just saying when you start to deny yourself and you say, Lord, show me your way. Show me what you want me to do. Show me where you want me to go, who you want me to be with. Maybe it's about marriage. Maybe it's about joining a church, joining a Bible study. When you ask the Lord to show you, he will show you, and you can rely on the Holy Spirit to give you good counsel and truth from the Holy Spirit that comes from God. And so in verse 16, then Jesus starts to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Well, the helper that he is talking about is the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Rosh HaKodesh. That is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Jesus says, when I leave you, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. The Spirit of the truth, verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you a little while longer and the world will see me no more. Jesus was talking about his crucifixion. He's saying, I'm getting ready to leave, but you will see me because I live and you will live also. And so Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. There will be a helper for you. It's like your little children when you leave them with a babysitter or somebody to take care of them, a guardian, a caretaker. You may leave for a few hours. You may leave for a day. You may leave for a week. When you leave them in the care of a good guardian, a good caretaker, then you know that they're going to be taken care of. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was telling the disciples, I'm going to leave a helper for you, and he will guide you, he will counsel you, he will be with you, he will abide with you and in you. And so the Holy Spirit, the person of God, is living in you once you are born again, once you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit then comes to live with you and in you, and you will start to hear that small voice, that still small voice, that quiet voice. You'll start to hear that voice when you have questions, when you have trials and tribulations. That Holy Spirit will start to speak to you. Sometimes it just comes up out of your stomach. Sometimes it comes up out of your heart, and it just sometimes speaks to your mind, and it will speak to you, and he will speak to you, and he will give you the truth in all things. He will speak to you, and when you have the counsel of God from studying God's word, when you have the counsel of God from being with people of God, people that study God's word, people that pray, when you have that counsel in your heart and you have that counsel in your mind and with you, then that counsel starts to speak to you through the Holy Spirit, and that counsel then will give you direction. That counsel will be an advocate for you. That counsel will give you a way to go, a way out in every situation. That counsel will give you the wisdom to make good decisions. That counsel will give you the knowledge, things that you've studied about God and the Word of God. That counsel will bring that knowledge to your mind, and every thought then can be based on the Holy Spirit. When the devil puts thoughts in your mind that are not of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will remind you that does not line up with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will remind you that thought is from the devil. It goes counter to God's plan for your life. It goes counter to what God has spoken to you through His Word. And Jesus said that you will know the Holy Spirit. You will know Him, for He will dwell with you and will be in you. Then let's jump over to verse 25, chapter 14, Jesus still speaking, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And so that is the things that you have read in God's word. Those things will come back to you. Those things will be a reminder to you of what God's plan for your life is, a reminder to you of what the will of God is for your life. And so Jesus said that the Father will send the Holy Spirit in my name. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is sent from the Father. When Jesus himself was water baptized, we looked at this last week in Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was water baptized, he came up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit, the dove of the Holy Spirit, lit upon him, and then the heavens opened up, and God spoke to him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so at that point in time, Jesus himself received the Holy Spirit. But when we are baptized, water baptized, when we repent, and we confess Jesus as our Lord, and we are water baptized, our sins are washed away, the blood of Jesus washes our sins away, and then at that time, you may receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. You may receive it at that same time when you're water baptized, but in some cases, it doesn't come, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It may not come until after water baptism. It may not come even for a few years or several years after water baptism, because that baptism of fire comes when you are fully immersed and you're fully submitted and you're fully committed to the Lord. Then the fire of the living God comes in you, just like it did in Acts chapter 2. That fire of the living God comes upon you and it rests upon you, and the tongues of fire stir up in you that Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit then comes to reside in you with the fire of the living God. Well, let's jump over to John chapter 15 and verse 26, Jesus again speaks about when the Helper comes, and he says in verse 26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." And so he's telling the disciples, you will be a witness of me, and the Holy Spirit will be a witness of me. And so, and this applies to us also, our spirit then resonates with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gives us counsel, gives us truth, gives us wisdom, our human spirit then resonates with the Holy Spirit, and we will testify of Jesus. We will have no problem saying praise God. We will have no problem saying praise Jesus. We will have no problem speaking the truth in every situation. We will have no problem speaking the truth and saying the Lord has done this for me. The Lord is this in my life. The Lord is an encourager. The Lord is my strength and my shield. And your human spirit then will testify along with what the Holy Spirit has testified of Jesus Christ in your life. Okay, then Jesus continues his teaching of the Holy Spirit in chapter 16, and I encourage all of you, read all of chapter 14, 15, 16, read it over and over, and you will understand more about the Holy Spirit. And in verse 7, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. And if I depart, but if I depart, I will send him to you." Well, put yourself in the position of the disciples, the 12 apostles that were walking with him. They were not wanting Jesus to go to Jerusalem. In fact, Peter had rebuked Jesus when he was talking about going to Jerusalem to be crucified. Peter had rebuked Jesus, and Jesus rebuked Peter then, said, "You're standing in the way of God's plan." And so Jesus says to them, to comfort the disciples, he says, "It is to your advantage that I go away." And I'm sure this statement, it's very profound, but I'm sure it confused them a lot, because they could not understand, how could it be better, Jesus, how could it be to our advantage for you to go away, and you will not be here, there'll be no miracles, there'll be no healings, there'll be no crowds to minister to, so how can it be to our advantage if you're not here? But Jesus said, "It will be to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me," that is, the unrighteous do not believe in me, "of righteousness, because I go to my Father." Well, the denial of the unrighteous was that Jesus was not resurrected, that he did not defeat the grave, that he did not defeat the sting of death. And so the unrighteous deny and still deny that Jesus was resurrected and he now sits at the right hand of the Father. And then in verse 10, it also says, "Because I go to the Father and you see me no more." And then in verse 11, "of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Well, the ruler of this world was judged at the cross. The ruler of this world was judged at the resurrection. The ruler of this world, that is Satan, the devil, was judged at the whipping post, in a way, because the blood of Jesus was shed for our sin at the whipping post. The blood of Jesus was shed several different ways, but it was at the cross and at the resurrection that Jesus proved he has power over death. Jesus proved that the devil is no longer in control of our destiny, the devil is no longer in control of our life, and the devil is no longer in control of our death. Yes, you will die. Yes, I will die. Our fleshly bodies are going to lay down in the earth someday, and they will die. But our spirit and our soul, the devil cannot hold them. The devil can never bind them. Our spirit and our soul, as soon as we lay down and die in our fleshly, earthly body, we will be with Jesus. Our spirit and our soul, the eternal parts of us, the eternal part of you, will go to be with Jesus if you are a born-again believer. If you've confessed his name, you need not fear death. Jesus said, I have conquered death. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter, that Jesus Christ himself was the first fruits of all creation given back to God. In other words, Jesus Christ, when he was resurrected from the grave, he was number one, first fruit of all creation, all created beings given back to the Lord God, his creator. And so Jesus said in verse 12, chapter 16, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Well, beloved, that is one of the amazing things of the Holy Spirit of God, the person of the Holy Spirit. He can tell you things to come because he is getting his information from God the Father and from Jesus Christ. He is getting his knowledge, his wisdom, the words of truth that he has to impart to us are coming from the Father. The Father is not bound by time, and neither is Jesus Christ. You can know things to come that you have not seen yet with your eyes. You can know things to come that you have not experienced because the Holy Spirit is getting information from the Father. You can know those things even before you encounter them in your earthly walk. And that's where the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, comes from, because you can know those things and you can prophesy over people's lives. You can prophesy to churches and give churches prophetic unction and direction and encouragement in a certain way or another. And you can know in detail through dreams and visions things that are going to happen in countries. God has given me many prophetic dreams for the United States of America. He's given me prophetic dreams for Kenya. I knew 11 months or 10 months. I knew 10 months before the election this last August. I knew 10 months before who the Lord was going to raise up to be president of the Republic of Kenya. And you may think that's crazy, but I wrote it down. I can send you a copy of that dream. It's in detail. And the Lord showed me that he was raising up a man, a certain man, who is an evangelical Christian, to be the leader and the president of Kenya. And so I was not anxious during the election. The election itself had a lot of controversy. It ended up in the Supreme Court with a lot of different contentious issues being settled by the Supreme Court. But I had peace about it because the Lord had showed me who the president was going to be, who he was going to raise up. That person is now the president of the Republic of Kenya. So in verse 14, we'll wrap this up. 16, 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. And so it goes from the Father to the Son and then to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. And when you feel that declaration, you will have a still small voice. It doesn't always come like a scream or like an audible voice of God. It's a still small voice. And sometimes the Holy Spirit just speaks to us in a way that it wells up out of our stomach, out of our heart, out of our mind, but we know, because whatever the Holy Spirit speaks, it lines up with the Word of God, it lines up with the truth of God. And so we know when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, if you know the will of God from God's Word, it will line up with that Word. And then in verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine, Jesus said. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and he will declare it to you. And in a little while, verse 16, you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. This is after the resurrection. He says, in a little while you will not see me, but then in a little while you will see me, because I go to the Father. Well, that's a motherload of revelation there regarding the Holy Spirit of the living God, the third person of the Trinity. He's going to give you the truth in all things, truth in things that have already passed, truth in things of the present, and truth of things here yet to come that you haven't seen with your eyes and that you have not experienced yourself. And you will know that timeless nature of God, that God is not bound by time, Jesus is not bound by time, and he can actually reveal to you and let you know about things that are coming ahead of your life, and you have not yet seen them with your eyes. It's like walking by faith, but the faith has information, revelation, wisdom, and knowledge with it that you can apply to your own life. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this lesson. We'll continue next week, part 3, regarding the Holy Spirit. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We invite you to join this ministry, to partner with us, not only to keep the radio broadcast going, but for all the good projects we have going in Africa. We invite you to partner with us. We invite you to sit down today. Let us know you're listening. Write us out a note. Include a check of support, and you will be blessed. You can also go to PayPal, paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast, and you can make a donation with your credit card or your debit card. We'd love to hear from you today. Pray about your part in joining us in this mission in Africa. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.